know, there's just an increase right now. I see his heart just pouring out. He's pouring out of his heart. And I see that he desires for us to open, just open ourselves to receive. You know, there's people in here that know an awful lot. And have traveled and have even traveled in the Spirit and done mighty things. You know, sometimes having a lot of experiences with God or knowing a lot, we can become, you know, we can shut the door because we think we have gotten it. But I feel like he's saying no matter how far you've gone or how little you've gone down your path with me, open up your heart and receive something more because I want to pour myself into you. I want to pour who I am and what I am into you in new and greater ways. I want to open your understanding. I want to open up the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your spirit, man. I know that your natural eyes see and your natural ears hear, but I long for your eyes and ears to be open in the realm of the Spirit that I could show you the mighty things of God. You know, I said to Nicodemus, how will I explain heavenly things to you? And how will you believe those if you don't understand when I tell you of earthly things? See, I desire to give you so much more. There is so much more for you in this life. There's so much more for you. And you don't need to wait until you come to heaven when you die to receive the things that I have for you now. You see, because I want for you to walk in a fellowship, in a communion with me that becomes closer and closer and closer until we're like one. Until you can know my thoughts and feel my heart and see what I see the way that I see it. Do you know that that's possible? Do you know that that is my desire for you, for every believer? Do you know that no one is left out? I don't leave anyone out of my promise. But I desire for my children to come and sit at my feet and allow me to just pour in all that I have for you. Do you know that if you enter into that kind of a communion with God, that kind of relationship and fellowship, do you know that you will grow so fast? You will learn so much. Because as we commune, do you understand that even without words, I can put my knowledge in you? Do you understand that there's a place beyond prophecy? There's a place beyond speaking. There's a place beyond where it's a heart-to-heart of knowing one another, of fellowshipping together, where I can actually give you the food from heaven and the drink from heaven. Do you know that there are places where you can look in my eyes and know my heart? Do you know that I desire for you to come unto me without all the doubting and the fear and feeling like you can't enter in and it's for others? No, my dear, it's for you. It's for you. It's for every believer. I desire passionately for every person to come into such a relationship where we walk together and where you don't have to go and find out from somebody else what I'm saying, but you can know my heart for yourself. You can know what I'm saying and what I'm feeling for yourself. Do you know that's what it means to be one in the Spirit with the rest of the body? That when people begin to come in that relationship with me, there will be agreement because there will be oneness. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Did I not say that? I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. How is it possible? By entering into such a place where you find my heart. and all the disagreements will fall away because all will know me and know my heart, all who come in. And that is why the enemy has tried so hard to keep you out of that relationship. That is why Martha fought such a battle to get the job done, thinking that she was serving me and thinking that it was what I desired, to have some perfect meal, thinking that I would be pleased as she prepared this gift for me. And I would be pleased, but how much more pleased I would be with the one who just sits at my feet and lets me pour myself into them, because then I have a duplicate of me. You've heard of cloning, haven't you? I filled you with my spirit, but I desire to fill you with my word, my thoughts, my heartbeat. And the closer that you come into that realm and into that relationship, the more you will understand me. I desire for you to have the knowledge of God. I desire for you to know me, not just in your head, but know me experientially, that you can share with others about your relationship, your friendship. Do you understand that that's what I've called you to? That's why I made Adam and Eve, because I desired to fellowship and commune and walk in the garden in the cool of the day together as one. And that is my desire for every one of my children. Come away with me, not just this weekend, but for the rest of your life. Come away with me. I will not disappoint you. I will not hurt you. Some of you have been hurt so badly, you're afraid to trust someone again because you don't want to be wounded anymore. I will not hurt you like man has hurt you. I will not injure your soul. A tender reed I will not break. But I will bring you in as a baby, as a mother brings in a baby. I will feed you myself. I will nurture you myself. That is the desire of my heart. And the thoughts from the enemy and the evil one, his thoughts try to keep you away from that place. He has all kinds of methods designed to keep you out of my holy place, to keep you out of my presence. But reject him. Reject his ideas. Reject his thoughts. Reject anything that tells you otherwise. Because I love you and I want you with me. Amen. That is my desire. And you can look it up throughout the scriptures and see it confirmed that it is my will for you to be with me, spend time with me, live with me, live in me. That's my will for you. So any enemy that tells you something else is the father of lies. You reject any other thought except that I want you with me. Do you understand how much I love you and how you are actually a part of me? I didn't call you my body for no reason. It's because you're part of me. You're part of me. I could no more let go of you. I could not let go of you. You're part of me. And my love for you is eternal and is everlasting. And I died for you so that you could come in to my presence without fear or hesitation. And that is my most fervent desire for you. Some of you think that my desire is for you to achieve great things. That's fine. I'll let you achieve mighty things. I have no problem with that. But that's not my highest desire. Some of you think it's about getting the job done for me. I'll let you do that too, and I'll be thrilled with the job you get done for me, but that's not my highest will for you. My highest will for you is to be with me and spend time with me. That is my highest aspiration for you. And all those other things will come out of that place where you and I sit together fellowshipping as one in the holy place. Because as you do that, not one time, but again and again and again, let me tell you, you will fall in love with me. You will fall in love with the Savior. As you get to know me, you will not be able to help but love me, because I am love, and in my presence is perfect love. And as you live in that place, all of your gifts will spring to life. All of your love and compassion for other people will come to life. It's in that place that it happens. But people try to stay outside of that place and still make it happen. It can't be. You cannot do these things in the flesh. It doesn't work. It happens when you're with me. Every time you come in with me, I do something on the inside of you. Sometimes you'll feel it and know it. Sometimes you won't. But every time you commune with me, things happen. And I will awaken those things that I have put on the inside of you that are life, that are truth. I will awaken the things I've put on the inside of you to love the brethren, to make it easy for you to forgive, to make it easy for you to walk in healing, to make it easy for you to write that book, to make it easy for you to sing those songs. Because as you sit with me, I am life, and life happens on the inside of you and breathes life on your gifts and on the fruits and on the Spirit of God within you, awakening those things I have placed on the inside of you. It is by that life that these things will happen. Many believers stay outside of my presence for years on end and attempt in their own ability to love or to forgive or to study the Word or to do great things. And it's a difficult, hard road, because the flesh doesn't have it. I'm glad they're trying, but I tell you, there's a better way. There's life in me, and I want to train you how to walk in it. I want to train you how to live with me, really live with me, really commune with me, really breathe my breath, speak my word, think my thoughts, and know my heart. That is my fervent desire for you, my beloved. My beloved. My beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise, all the honor forever. First, I want you to know I love you all so much. And God has given me a love. I don't always show it, I know, because when I'm working hard, I'm working. And I don't always show it. But there is in me a love for each of you and for what happens to you. And I have prayed for each person that comes that they will truly receive from the very depth of God. And that this won't just be a bunch of meetings. It won't just be a bunch of information that you probably already know, but that this will be an immersion. We will be immersed. I believe God wants to immerse us in Him for this tonight and through tomorrow. I believe He wants for the presence of God that we would be able to go deeper and deeper and deeper into Him throughout tonight and tomorrow, that we would be able to drink deeply and even deeper. And He's given me some things to do that are a little different than what I usually do. And I'm going to do them in obedience, and it's a new thing for me, so you'll have to bear with me. Also, thank you for being patient with my voice. I'm thankful that I have it sort of back. You'll hear it crackle, and you'll hear some off-key notes, but hallelujah. His presence doesn't mind, does it? So, Father, I lift up these, your children and your beloved bride. And right now, Lord, we step into you. Hallelujah. We step into you, Lord, into all that you have for us. Oh, I'm just watching for the flow. I have some things He's given me, but I'll make sure I time it right, okay? Glad you're not a speedy people. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're soakers. Oh, Rababasiti Kendarika Doshi. God has given me three things He told me to do this weekend. It's a little different than what I usually do. And the way that He shared it with me is that normally when I preach by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So I'm usually, you know, kind of flying in the Spirit, and I tend to brush over a lot of facts. And a lot of times I'll say maybe a sentence or two, and I assume everybody knows what I'm talking about. And a lot of times I found out over time that I didn't go into enough detail and people don't know. And so this is going to be a little different. We're going to take our time. We're going to stop at every oasis of truth and we're going to hang out there. If you have a question, you can either... I want you to ask your questions this weekend. It won't always be like that, but this weekend, if you're stuck or if you don't get it, either ask a question, or if you're too shy. I used to be too shy to ask questions, or I thought it was maybe kind of a... Maybe I felt silly asking a certain question. You can write it down, throw it in the red bucket when it goes by, and I'll try my best to answer it if I can, if I'm able. Now this weekend, God is going to do... He told me He wanted to do three things. An inspirational preacher is generally speaking into your spirit, okay? When you go to somewhere where you're dealing with a teacher, they are teaching in order to renew or change your mind, right? So when you sit in front of a teacher, he's going to teach the Bible line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, because he's attempting to renew your mind. And that's when you're, you know, taking notes, because you're trying to renew your mind with the washing of the water of the Word. And it's extremely important that everybody has a good teacher in their life as well as a good inspirational preacher. Because if you are spiritual, if you go deeply spiritual, and you're not renewed in your mind, the devil will clobber you sooner or later. Because if your mind isn't renewed to the Word... Listen, deeply spiritual people accomplish a lot by the Spirit of God. But if they aren't strong in the Word, see, the enemy tends to attack them more because they are accomplishing more. And I'm telling you that a lot of the battles are won right at the place of the Scripture. Many battles, you know, there's a place for... I love intercession, and I love doing battle and winning, because God never loses. He never loses. Never. And I love that kind of warfare, but I will tell you that some wars can be won by you knowing the truth and refusing to accept a lie. Some battles are won when you simply know the truth and refuse to accept the package that the enemy is trying to deliver. Okay? Sometimes the enemy throws a dart in your mind and tries to get you to accept it. And it can be any kind of nonsense. You know, he likes to speak failure or defeat, or you're not forgiven, or you're guilty before God, or how can you achieve anything for God? All kinds of junk. And you know, a lot of people don't even know that those are darts from the enemy. They think because they feel like your own thoughts. And what happens is you can actually accept the spirit of defeat or failure or whatever it is, and accept it and walk in it. And you may be praying a lot to try to defeat the thing, and a lot of times you will get victory that way, but sometimes the victory is when you read the Word and you say, wait a minute, that is not what this says. This says that every believer is forgiven. If I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive my sins. He'll give me joy. He'll give me beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word is full of success and victory, and you win. And so whenever the enemy tries to approach you with thoughts or dreams or people speaking junk to you that is anything but God's victory, you can counter it by speaking, no, that's not for me. You know, I used to walk in feeling failure and defeated in terms of being used of God. I used to actually believe, I felt I was called, but I always had this kind of defeated attitude that I could never quite fulfill the calling. I always felt that way, and the enemy was always, you know, feeding that thing. But you know what? I read the word, but there was some lie in my soul. And if you have a lie in your soul, if you believed a lie, you will act according to what you believe. You'll act according to the lie instead of according to what God has said. It's called a false belief system. And so what happens is, if you believe a lie, whatever it is, I used to have guilt and condemnation. Felt guilty all the time. I used to feel that I could never really achieve what God had called me to do. But that was for other people, special people. It was a lie in my soul. And you know, I began to really look at the Word and I realized this is not what the Word says about any believer. And I don't know when it happened, but I made a choice. It said, I am choosing to believe. A lot of times faith is actually a choice you make. It's not always just a gift. Sometimes you choose to believe. And a lot of times we've been so led by our emotions. You know, especially spiritual people tend to want goosebumps so much that they're so emotionally led that they fall apart when bad things happen. So you really have to have your mind completely changed and renewed according to the Word of God so that when the lies come, you say, no, I'm not taking that package. Take it on down the street because I'm not accepting that. And the battle was won right there. And he may try a couple more times, but if you won't take it, he can't make you. You know, we have a friend who's an evangelist. He goes overseas and he holds these big crusade meetings. And hundreds of thousands of people come to these meetings and thousands on thousands get saved and healed and delivered every night. And we were having a conversation one day and he was looking at buying this building to use for a church. And the building was an odd choice. Building-wise, it was great, but it was being used for a spiritualist church, which is, you know, full of garbage, you know, full of junk, demonic stuff. And so I kind of said, well, as long as you kick all the junk out, and he got kind of mad. He got this, And he said, I stand on the platform with voodoo and juju high priests in the front row cursing me while I preach. They can't do a thing. And I learned something from that guy. They can't make you take it if you won't take it. They can't make you take it if you will not take it. But I saw something in him. He had a rigidity. His mind was rigidly set on the Word of God. He wasn't backing down. He wasn't going to back down. And so what I'm saying all this because as we go deeper into communion with God and relationship with Him, you will have spiritual experiences. You will eventually, hopefully, get to a place in your relationship with Him where you are having heavenly experiences, heavenly dreams, encounters with God. That's wonderful. But those type of people tend to be a target for the enemy. And so I'm saying this, make sure you know the Word. And when Satan tries to come with something that's not in accordance with the Word, you counter it with your voice. You say it out loud. Say, no, this is what's true. And you quote the Scripture. No, this is what's true. Counter it. Counter what he says. And you'll win a lot of battles. You'll win a lot that way. You know, if Edgar and I gave in to every stupid devil that came along, we'd never hold a meeting. I mean, we've had
We've had floods in our house. We've had Edgar fall down the stairs on the concrete. We've had people that hate our guts. We've had, you name it. I mean, it happens. It happens to every, you know, minister that's worth their salt. But we made a decision a long time ago. When it's time for the meeting, you go to the meeting. Doesn't matter. You go. And you know what? The devil after a while kind of went, well, okay. He knows he can't stop what we're going to do. They can't. And that's how you need to be as a believer. I see people all the time. This really is not my message, but this is what the Holy Ghost wants to say. Hallelujah. I see a lot of times people, and I love them, and God bless them, but they fall apart over small things. And I'm not condemning anybody. If that's where you're at, that's where you're at. But you don't have to stay that way. You're going to get to a place by the grace of Jesus Christ and by the Word of God where you're not moved and not shaken and not budged when things don't happen right. Here's a truth, and you can bank on it. You know, when the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, that is a scripture you can bank your life on. You know, there's some scriptures that you know, but there's some scriptures that you've actually lived, right? Do you ever have a chapter of the Bible that's like yours? And you don't just know it, you know it. You've lived it. That's my chapter. Well, I can tell you that verse is one of my verses. I've lived that verse many, many, many times. And I learned something. It took me a long time to learn it, but when I got it, I got it. All things really do work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose, if you will stand on that scripture. Satan can throw complete junk at you, and it can look bad and worse and even impossible. But if you take it to God and say, God, you promised me good out of it, He will find a way to turn it for your good and His glory every single time. And you can live that way. So that way when something happens, you know, the floods come and the rain descends, beats on that house, remember the house? You can stand on that word and go, you know, I don't really care. God's going to do something better for me. Remember Job? He was stripped clean, man. That guy, that poor guy, lived through terrible things. But in the end, guess what? God gave him double in every area and promoted him. That was the first book of the Bible written. God complimented him, said he was upright. Hallelujah. We get to read about him thousands of years later. See, God took a bad situation and turned it into something good, and He will do it every time if you will trust Him. Hallelujah. Okay, so I told you two of the things. God wants to, He said this weekend, He wants to speak into the Spirit. He also is going to do some speaking into our minds with some word. And He also told me, He said that one of the issues is that people have is that they can kind of know what to do. They hear a good teaching on how to do something in God and say amen, but it's not something you can really do just because you heard it. And what He showed me is it's like if a tennis pro came in here, or a golf pro, that's even better, came in and showed us all kinds of techniques, and they didn't keep any secrets. They showed us the absolute, all the best techniques, and we could all go amen and go home. And you know what? We wouldn't golf any better than we did. Because we have to go and do it, and do it, and do it, and do it. And I heard a wise man say this. He said, the difference between a teacher and a coach is a teacher gives you the information, but a coach makes you do it, and do it, and do it until you get it right. It would be like if a football coach just said, okay, we're going to do these great plays, and draws them on the board, and everybody goes, amen. Okay, we're all going out for pizza. How good would that football team be? And the things of the Spirit are like this. You can hear people talk about it, but you have to do it. You've got to learn how. And so we're going to, by the grace of the Lord, hallelujah, if I can remember how to do all this, we're going to have some activations where we get to soak, we get to spend some time in God. And instead of doing a traditional prayer line where one person stands here, or two or three, and we pray for people, we're not doing that. We will hear from God, and we will have our needs met. But we will be getting it either directly from God, or God will give it to someone else for you. Okay, and I still haven't started, hallelujah, but I want to tell you, begin to ask God the questions of your heart and trust Him to answer those questions before this weekend is out. And begin to ask Him for the things you need in your soul, and He will meet you there. He promised me. First of all, He called this meeting. He told me the date. I didn't even know what kind of seminar was going to be. I said, okay, we're having a seminar. I told her, we're having a seminar. What is it? I don't know. You tell me. Then He told me the name of it, but He still didn't give me the guts of it yet. And then as He began to give me the stuff to give out, He said, you know, I was thinking everybody's going to go to this deeper level. And He said, everybody's at a different level. Some people have walked with me for a long time. Some people have just started. Some people want to but aren't sure how. He said, but I will meet every single person where they are at, and I will help them to the next level in their walk with me. Amen. God gave me a picture, and He said, many people are living, actually, they're living their life outside of the presence of God, and it's sort of like as though they see God as being in heaven, they're on earth, and it's like a looking glass. Like they see Him, but they can't get in. They're on the outside looking in. In this manner of living, the believer may feel some separation from the Lord. In a manner of speaking, they may feel that God is in heaven, but they are on earth trying to please the Lord, but often feeling separated from His presence and His love. This perspective gives the idea of the Martha thing that the Lord was talking about earlier, rules, regulations, results. Do this, don't do that. Produce results, and then you'll be a good Christian, acceptable to God. Except for a few rare people, this is basically how it was in the Old Covenant. Only a very few people were truly prophetic or walked in His presence, such as Elijah or Moses and a few others. But in the New Covenant, God has made a way for all believers to abide, which means live, dwell, actually live in the secret place in Him. And you know, that's been a secret from the body of Christ. Most people have not actually learned how to live in the secret place of the Most High. It is a free gift to every single believer that desires to have it. This perspective or lifestyle of abiding in Him allows a different perspective, as though seeing life from His eyes and from His viewpoint, seeing the affairs of this life from a heavenly eternal perspective. Problems are much smaller and easier to deal with when they're viewed from His perspective. In other words, it's like being seated in heavenly places. When you're seated in heavenly places with Him, you get to see your life. You know, when you're in it and you're dealing with circumstances, a lot of times they're bearing on you, and it's wearing on your heart and wearing on your soul. But if you have a habit and a custom of going into the secret place of the Most High, I remember one time I was coming home from work and I walked into the house. I was praying. I like to pray in the car. And I was praying about some things, and they seemed like really big, big things. I'll never forget this. I walked into the house, and I looked at the kitchen table, and I saw, instead of seeing in the natural, I saw a picture of a map of the United States, and it was the size of the kitchen table. And God was showing me the things that seem really big to us because we're walking in earthly shoes. When you are seated in heavenly places, you know, it's nothing for God. Things that you think are hard are nothing for Him. But they're difficult if you're here. But if you live in Him and you abide in that place of communion and relationship with Him, big things become very small and very easy. We were talking earlier about the Garden of Eden. You know, the whole thing in the garden was there was a perfect communion. There was no, before the fall, there was no separation between Adam and God. Think about that. Imagine if there was absolutely nothing separating you from God. No sin, no wrong ever having been done, no fear of judgment, nothing like that. There was a perfect communion. They walked in the garden together, and it was only when sin entered in that we fell into fear and doubt, trembling. God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you? He knew. Something dreadful had happened that stole communion away from Adam. Adam now was in fear of God. He now hid. Sin had driven a wedge between us and the Lord. Cherubim were stationed at the entrance to seal the way into the garden. The way was barred. There was no access for humans after that point. Do not enter. Jesus, remember, He said He came to earth to restore that which was lost. I used to think that just meant lost souls, and it does mean lost souls, but it also means that thing that was lost in the garden of that perfect communion without fear, without a wrong kind of fear. There's a good fear of God, thank the Lord, that causes us to run to Him and be saved, but there is a communion that was lost, and Jesus came to restore that, to make a way for us to go back into the garden. Adam, when they sinned, they passed from having life in God and a close communion with Him into a spiritual death. You know, it says through Adam, death passed upon all men. Well, it doesn't mean mortal death like we die. It means spiritual death. We could no longer commune with God. We could no longer go in the Holy of Holies. Jesus took our sins on Himself. Everything that happened in the garden since, says the sins of the world. He who knew no sin, check this out. He who knew no sin became sin. He didn't just take our sin. It says, the Bible says, He became sin for us. Isn't that amazing? So that we might become the righteousness of God. Matthew 27. Jesus, when He had cried aloud, or cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. Yeah, I bet they did. Can you imagine? Now think about it. I mean, picture what happened. Listen to this. Luke 23 says, saying the same story, the sun was darkened. So you're watching the Son of Man be crucified. The sun goes dark, the earth quakes, rocks tear open, and dead bodies come to life and go into town and start testifying. Yeah, you bet you'd say, this was the Son of God. That's exactly what the centurion, truly, this was the Son of God. God is a powerful God. That veil that was torn in the temple, they say it was so thick and heavy, two teams of horses could not have torn it apart. It could not have been torn apart by any physical means. God tore it, and it says, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. By this holy sacred act, Jesus opened the way back into perfect fellowship with the Father, into the Holy of Holies, into the wonderful garden of God. We can go into the depth of His presence without fear now. The Bible says you can come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 10 says, therefore, brethren, since we now, listen, we have confidence to enter the holy place. Do you know that most Christians don't? Most Christians don't have the confidence in what Jesus did. I used not to. Most Christians have more, I shouldn't say most, but I will tell you that a lot of Christians, it's hard for them to actually believe that we can go back into the Holy of Holies without fear. And the Bible even says to come boldly because we still see ourselves as sinful. But when you really get a revelation of what He did and how powerful His blood is, it doesn't matter what kind of day you're having, you can go. You can go and worship Him. You can go and fellowship with Him. You can lay on the ground before Him. And not, you know, there's people, even in here, there's people in here that when you apologize to God, you're always, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And you don't get, you don't receive the fact that He has forgiven you. And you're still apologizing over and over and beating yourself. There's someone in here, you beat yourself up. You know, God wants you to really get a hold of what the Word says about you. It says if you confess your sin, and if you really mean it in your heart, you know, some people say they're sorry, but they're not sorry. That's a different matter. I'm not talking about them. But if you have a heart and you repent truly and you're truly sorry, Jesus, I'm so sorry. It says He's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Because you remember your sin no more. And I'm going to tell you, when you really begin to believe this, you will be able to walk at levels you couldn't before. Because this people don't get, they still think the way is barred. They're still seeing themselves as not ready to go in or not worthy to go in. And that's the lie of the enemy.